Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. If you have had three cups of coffee today, you can probably pour yourself your fourth cup and enjoy this hour, but be a little careful of going beyond the fourth cup. Drinking four cups of coffee is probably safe. There's been an exhaustive study, a review of evidence on the health consequences of caffeine use that has just been published, and we're going to be talking about caffeine. The first hour of our program today is something that 90% of Americans enjoy. Actually, as the guest this hour writes, sometimes the actual best part of waking up is that first cup of coffee. Dr. James Hamblin will be joining us. He's senior editor at The Atlantic and hosts the series If Our Bodies Could Talk. He's also author of a book that has exactly the same name. We'll be welcoming phone calls if you have questions about caffeine, the effects that it has on the body, if it is beneficial in some ways, what the hazards may be, why some places are selling coffee that have huge amounts of caffeine in it, and it may be not very good for you at all. As a matter of fact, it may be dangerous. We'll be welcoming phone calls for our guest in just one moment. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. We have a busy week, though, because this is also Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive. Lisa Nalbandian, our WPR regional manager, is joining me here in Milwaukee. And we want you to know that listeners provide the single largest source of funding here at WPR, and this drive is your chance to support all of the wonderful programs that you enjoy. Please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kathleen.
Whoops, something's wrong with your mic. Oh, what mic are you on?
How about this mic?
There we go. That's much better. Hello.
Hi. Well, last hour, we heard from just a handful of listeners, so thank you everyone who pledged, and we have a brand new goal this hour, and that's to get to 15 pledges by 2 o'clock. And these goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has all the money to pay for the programs you rely on every day.
You can show your support during our spring membership drive. This is our centennial year. It's a really big deal to be 100 years old. You want to make all of the programs that you've enjoyed for, well, probably not too many of you have listened for the past 100 years, but maybe the past 85 years. You've enjoyed all those 85 years, and maybe some of you for 100 years. You want to make them possible for the next 100 years. Help meet the goal. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you probably know that Wisconsin Public Radio gets funding from the federal government and the state. And while federal and state funding is so important, listener contributions make up the single largest source of income for WPR.
So it's your contribution that is vital to keeping us on the air, actually. And now that you know how important your support is, make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, when we talk to people who pledged, and especially when we talk to first-time pledgers, they give because they just got out of college and they have their first job and they can finally afford to give. Or a lot of folks are turned 30 and they realize, hey, I'm a grown-up now, so it's time for me to give to WPR.
And it's always good feeling to give money to something that you believe in, and it's a service I know many of you rely on. It's a great way to commemorate, really, a new phase of your life, and we encourage that. So you decide the amount. Many first-time donors give $5 or $10 a month, and once you decide that, zoom, you go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
2017 marks WPR's first 100 years. And what better way to honor the occasion than with a wonderful tradition? Ask for the latest WPR Artist Mug when you give $13 a month. This year's mug is inspired by one of the very first WPR programs, Let's Draw, which taught art in classrooms through the radio. The design is colorful and fun, with artwork by schoolchildren throughout Wisconsin from the 1950s. It represents our timeless commitment to education and the arts. From our earliest days to today, we're all about lifelong learning. Celebrate with us. Ask for your mug when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me, and we're here, in case you were wondering, to raise the money that keeps keeps this station and this program on the air. We have a goal of 15 pledges. We have had one. Thank you to that person who gave already. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we really do appreciate your gift.
And give the amount that's right for you. And if you need some help trying to figure out what that magic number is, consider this. Say you hear three things a day that you really are glad that you heard. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out, if you do the math, to about $10 a month. So make that contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you already heard one of them. Four cups of coffee is okay.
Right. Who knew?
There you go. There's your idea for the day.
I'm going to go get my fourth cup, I think.
There you go. That's all right. You can drink it and enjoy it while you're listening to the show, but you got to stop after that. Maybe not. Others can drink more. We have, as I said, 14 pledges to go, and we have, a few minutes to get there, 45 minutes or so to get there. This is a big deal, and you'll feel good if you give during our 100th year. It's our birthday. We were around in 1917, which is incredible, and you have made it all possible, so it's your gift today that ensures the next 100 years. That's a very substantial thing. Make your centennial gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And for this pledge drive, we're offering something very special that ties into our centennial. Make sure to ask for the WPR Artist Mug because it features artwork by kids from the 1950s who did the Let's Draw program on Wisconsin Public Radio. So it's pictures of little kids just standing there in their 1950s look. It's adorable. So it's yours when you give $13 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time also to become a sustaining member. And if you'd like more information about that, well, let's tell you this. It's easy to set up convenient and ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or also from your credit card. Get more information and think about doing this. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So Kathleen from Indianapolis, Indiana says,
hey.
I know. Thanks to everyone who makes WPR great. Well, thank you, Kathleen, for listening and for listening in beautiful Indiana.
Absolutely. Colleen Leahy, who just joined us, who's answering phone calls for us today, is from Indianapolis, Indiana. Shout out to Indianapolis. That's nice.
That's wonderful.
That's great. Your gift is powerful. You should know that. And you should also know that it is important. It really makes a difference. Please go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Lisa. And thank you for all of your gifts this hour. We appreciate them, and quite frankly, we need them as well.
Now, when we try.
We're going to be talking about caffeine this hour of the program, and we have been learning some interesting information. Our guest is Dr. James Hamblin. He's a senior editor at The Atlantic. He hosts the series If Our Bodies Could Talk and is the author of the book If Our Bodies Could Talk. He has a piece, and it's based on this huge review. Since 2003, more than 10,000 papers have been published related to caffeine. Half of them address the effects or exposure levels in humans, and 800 reviews related to various human health effects have been published. So this review looked at the health effects and looked at all of those many studies and has come up with really a definitive guide for us on how much coffee is safe for us. Dr. Hamblin has written about that in The Atlantic, and we thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we're a little, there we go, we're just a little soft on... Can you talk again?
Yeah.
There we go. That's better.
Okay.
That's much better. It was a little soft at first. Thanks so much for writing the article. Let's start with these wild coffee packages that are being sold now that seem a little crazy to me that have these huge amounts of caffeine.
Yeah, it's sort of becoming a little bit of an arms race in the coffee industry, it seems. There are products that are sold just based on the fact that they have a lot of caffeine. Like one is called Black Insomnia, and another is called Death Wish, and they are saying that they have as much caffeine in about an ounce of the coffee as you might expect in closer to a full cup of the coffee, of normal coffee. So they're really testing the limits in a way that some some, you know, health experts are saying is too far.
Dr. Hamlin, I was telling people, if you want your fourth cup, have it now, and it's okay during this hour, we'll enjoy some coffee. But when that coffee is called insomnia, is in the title of it, did any of these health experts and all these studies look at a time of day when you should cut off your caffeine or you may not sleep at night?
The big takeaway from this is that it's incredibly difficult to make a rule for all people because this is a drug that different people handle very differently. You know, as you know, you probably have a friend who says they can't touch coffee or they get the jitters all day long.
Yes.
And there are other people who are having a giant cup after dinner and then sleep fine through the night. So that sort of thing is the kind of thing that's really, really difficult to make a rule for, but that's why you have to you have to kind of know yourself, and if you're not sleeping well, if you're feeling anxious, then that's the kind of cue that you should be drinking earlier in the day or not at all.
Mm-hmm. And who decided this four cups is probably okay?
Yeah. That was interesting because I'd been hearing these news stories about black insomnia and death wish and whatnot, and hearing that health experts were saying this may be over the limit for caffeine. And I found myself wondering what limit, I didn't know there was a limit. And then it kept coming back to people citing 400 milligrams. So I looked back, 400 milligrams a day, which is going to be about four of your traditional cups of coffee, the 8 ounce mug you'll get in a cafe, not the enormous Starbucks cup. And so I looked back, and that actually came from a review of literature that was done in 2003. And then that very weekend, which has been 2 weekends ago now, there was a big scientific conference happening in Chicago. And these researchers were presenting a new review of all of the studies that had looked at health risks of caffeine, and they tried to redraw that line or see if that line was indeed still appropriate, because a lot of research has happened since 2003. And they said yes, that 400 milligrams does seem to be a safe recommendation for people, which means when they looked at all of the studies that evaluated risk, who was getting hypertension or anxiety or even depression or other less likely but sometimes reported risks, that above 400 milligrams, it really did not seem to be, or below 400 milligrams, sorry, it did not seem to be a substantial
mm-hmm.
for people.
What is it that we love about coffee? You say in your article that, and I find this astounding, it's a part of the everyday lives of 90% of Americans. Why do we like it so much?
Some sort of caffeinated drink is. Not necessarily coffee. It might be tea. It might be a soda. It is not necessarily 400 milligrams, but it is part of our culture, and it's all around us, and there's marketing, and there's tradition, and then there's a sense that we probably do enjoy it, and then there's the high-pressure work environments, people feeling that they need to be tethered to computers for longer periods than their bodies were really probably meant to do it, and so we turn to this stimulant to help us survive.
Mm-hmm. So it does help us. We've heard a lot of studies that look at the benefits of caffeine as well. It does help us do our tasks, concentrate?
That's going to also vary from person to person. It certainly gives us the feeling that we're being more productive. For some people it is. There are interesting studies that look at actual productivity and it turns out to vary from task to task. So some people might not have the same flexibility of thought, their minds might not wander in a way that could lead to creative insights, so that would be a downside of being heavily caffeinated, but at the same time, you might be more focused. So if you need to do the sort of work that is just crunching numbers or organizing, documents on your desktop, you might be quicker at it and more focused if you were heavily caffeinated.
Mm-hmm. Do you drink coffee?
I do. I try to limit it just because I can tell when I've been over-caffeinated and I start to feel not as good. So I usually just have a cup, maybe two, every day.
In the morning? I'm sorry, I hate to analyze you, but as long as you're here, let's do it. In the morning you have it?
Yeah, I keep it in the morning. If I were to have one after say, 5 p.m., I know I wouldn't be sleeping well that night.
You know, it's interesting to me, and you can analyze us for a moment. I don't know anybody who's done work that we do here, any producers, really any on-air host that I've known who don't drink coffee.
Well, I think it's also, it definitely is habit-forming. Even just the ritual of doing it socially and pouring that cup in the morning and having something warm to sip on, there are a lot of psychological elements that go into it, and then you do form a bit of a physiological habit where if you don't have it, you might get a headache or feel less energized. So and there's little reason to stop. It's everywhere, and so socially accepted or even socially encouraged that it's. Yeah, people don't try to stop.
Absolutely. Let's have coffee, everybody says. Let's take a quick call for you and invite others to join the conversation, 800-486-8655. But Jim called even before you were on the air. So, Jim, I know you really want to talk. You're from Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi. My dad is we'll call him an avid coffee drinker. He's 67. He's been drinking coffee for 62 years.
Ooh.
He started when he was 5, and when he wakes up in the morning, he has a pot of coffee, and then for brunch, he has a pot of coffee.
Oh, my gosh.
With lunch, he has a pot of coffee. In the middle of the afternoon, he has a pot of coffee, and then he has one that he drinks throughout the evening until it's about time to go to bed.
Unbelievable.
And I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the fact that he's a redhead. I know that sounds like a silly question. But I know there's the mutation in the MC1R gene that causes redheads to have issues with Novocaine. They need more when they take stimulants. Sometimes it'll cause them to be drowsy when they take things that make people drowsy. Sometimes it'll make them more hyper, things of that nature.
Well, that's
so I'm wondering if we're dealing with just he's habituated himself to it or if it might actually be some sort of genetic predisposition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wager a little bit of both. I don't know specifically about redheads and caffeine, but it definitely gets to the point that if your father can tolerate that, you know, a lot of people would feel like they wanted to jump out of their skin.
Right.
And would not be able to fall asleep. And most people could habituate themselves to the point where they would be able to tolerate coffee without, you know, if they really tried to forcibly introduce it to their lives gradually, where they could tolerate, you know, more than a cup or two a day, but probably not 4 pots a day. So there's probably habituation and a genetic predisposition towards it. And
probably not a good idea to have your 5-year-old drinking coffee, though.
No, the recommendations are generally to have kids avoid caffeine whenever possible.
Right. And Jim, do you drink coffee?
Sometimes, I'll have a couple of the little cans of the Starbucks espresso double shot things in the morning. And sometimes, much like my father, if I can't sleep at night, a cup of coffee will knock me right out.
No.
Yep.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much for your call. We'll take more of them in a moment. We're talking about an exhaustive study that was done of coffee. It was a systematic review of 10,000 papers and 800 reviews that was just published, and our guest this hour has written about it in The Atlantic. The title of his article is Drinking 4 Cups of Coffee is Probably Safe. Dr. James Hamlin is with us, senior editor at The Atlantic, author of If Our Bodies Could Talk. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And we'll be back with you and with him momentarily on the Ideas Network. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, and I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, whose grandmother gave her coffee when she was 4 years old. I'm sorry, you don't mind my saying that, but that's amazing.
Yeah, and it was
four years old.
It was Armenian coffee, which is like Turkish or Greek coffee. So the grounds, this tiny, tiny demitasse, and the grounds are at the bottom of the mug, and yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you liked it.
I did.
Do you still?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I can't drink it past
noon. I know.
But
4 years
so
old.
So good. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Woo. Well, our goal is to keep bringing you stories like that. I mean, you know, where else do you get shows like this? Let's face it. You just don't get them anywhere. And it's really valuable information. 4 cups of coffee is good. So we keep trying to make you happy and make you mad and make you informed and all of that. It's your support that makes all of these conversations possible. Please give now. Any amount makes a huge difference to us. WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number.
We're looking for about 8 more pledges in the next half hour. Your gift right now, super important. Support the programs you rely on every single day.
And we thank you if you've already given. If you have not, the time is now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
In 1917, that's a date you'll hear a lot, a group of Wisconsinites saw an opportunity to better serve the state. And they used this newfangled technology to create Wisconsin Public Radio. And a lot of things have changed in the last 100 years, but the guiding principle of WPR is the same: sharing information, inspiration, and entertainment for all.
Earliest days of reporting, the weather, crop prices, to groundbreaking educational programs like School of the Air, many of you will remember that, to award-winning journalism, talk, and entertainment. You hear every single day. We've been here for 100 years thanks to you. So it's you who tie together our past, our present, and our future. Please give now for the future. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR. Make a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month or $1,200 or more every year and provide such an important piece of funding for the programs we all rely on.
Let's all work together to build on this powerful resource. Radio is marvelous. What we do here on the Ideas Network, there's just nothing else like it in the country. It benefits so many people throughout Wisconsin and beyond. Make your leadership gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time we're driving, 14, 15 hours a day sometimes, all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, our station manager here in Milwaukee. We are asking for your support of WPR. It's our spring membership drive. And I'm not sure what your gift will be. We may suggest $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever amount. We thank you so much for your gift.
Think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as an investment in your future listening. Give us just a few minutes of your time and your donation in any amount. And in return, you'll get lots of great programs.
Donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And in a few minutes, lickety-split, you'll have made a wise investment. It's one that pays dividends every single day.
Yeah, that's right. We're looking for 7 more pledges, about 25 minutes to get them. 2017 marks 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Gives us a really strong start to the next 100 years.
Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and remember to ask for our fun new artist mug. It's yours when you give $13 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member like Bruce in Brookfield, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tom from McFarland says it all. I love WPR. Thanks. Thank you, Tom.
That's perfect. Your pledge right now is so important. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're talking coffee this hour and how much is safe for you. What kinds of, we haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about the benefits of coffee, but we also haven't talked very much about how it might hurt you if you go way beyond 4 cups a day, although that varies from individual to individual. Our guest this hour is Dr. James Hamlin. He is senior editor at The Atlantic and hosts the series If Our Bodies Could Talk. He's the author of a book that has the same name, and we're welcoming your phone calls. The number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And Kay has been holding on from Madison. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hi.
I have attention deficit disorder, and when I run out of my Ritalin temporarily, I find I want to drink a lot more coffee. And sometimes people I know that I believe have attention deficit disorder drink a lot of coffee, especially if they aren't medicated. I don't know if you can make any comments on that.
Doctor?
I do know that there is a lot of overlap. They're both stimulant medications, the Ritalin and Adderall, different mechanisms, but those are stimulants in the central nervous system, just like caffeine is also a stimulant. And so I do hear of people finding some therapeutic effect when they have a diagnosis of ADHD from coffee. I don't think that's rare or illogical.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kay, very much for your call. Are there certain people, did the release of the exhaustive look at all of these studies on caffeine, were there any real cautionary tones here to any of the reports that were done that people who have, say, cardiovascular disease should not drink coffee, or if you're pregnant, you should not drink coffee?
There is a lower threshold for people who are pregnant, and that was 300 milligrams a day of caffeine. And what the researchers found was that we really should have more research for people who are with specific medical conditions and regarding how much caffeine would be safe to drink, because what they found was that most of these studies they reviewed were done in healthy populations, so healthy adults. But obviously, you know, health is a spectrum, and our body weights, our ages, our blood pressures, all kinds of things are going to... There are so many variables that it's really hard to make a blanket recommendation for all people.
Oh, that's interesting. So when we say 4 cups, you may want to check that. I wonder if you want to check it with your doctor. If it varies so much from individual to individual, 4 cups might be too much for, 10% of the population?
I think with anyone with a significant chronic medical condition or acute medical condition should check with their doctor and kind of the message that I took away from this review was to treat caffeine a little bit more like a drug. Think of it a little bit more like a drug than we tend to in our culture, where it's just part of coffee and soda and so many other products now.
Right. Caffeine, you write in your article, occurs in plant leaves and seeds as an insect repellent. That's interesting. And herbicide. Does it make sense to take coffee grounds, or maybe even that cup of coffee that you left on the sink overnight and never drank, to pour it into maybe some outdoor plants to keep insects away?
I don't know. It may be worth a shot. I don't know how it would alter the soil and everything to do that. But I thought it was interesting to learn that is an idea of why it occurs in nature, why plants have caffeine in them in the first place, and yet again underlies the point that this is something that can be toxic in the right scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it's just really about in the right doses can have negative effects.
Hmm. And going back to this black insomnia coffee, the world's strongest coffee, which is available in the United States. There's also another product that you talk about called Death Wish. Why are those even on the market if they're as dangerous as everybody says they are?
It's so interesting the way we have, because we have this cultural acceptance of caffeine, and it's been with us so long, and people love it, that it would be very hard to retroactively start regulating it. It would become very political. People would protest the role of big government and get them out of my coffee cup sort of campaign. So I don't think it would go anywhere. Whereas if this was if these were de novo, a new drug, if caffeine was something that had just been synthesized for the first time and a company was trying to put it onto the market, I think a lot of people would raise red flags and say, wait, should we be putting high doses of this stimulant in so many products? I think there would be a big debate, and it probably, if it did make it to market, wouldn't be as ubiquitous as it is today by any measure.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing what a big business it's become, isn't it? There are coffee shops and specialty places all over the place these days. I didn't grow up with that at all. It was, you know, Mom had a can of Folgers.
Yeah. We've really started to crank up the intensity of the caffeine, and then to treat it as similar to wine in a way that people really care about the flavor and the experience and the brand and are willing to pay a lot of money and go out of their way and spend a lot of time building their lives around these.
I know. Yeah. And it's a lot of money if you add it up in the course of a week, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And more, obviously, if you add it up over the course of a year, a lifetime, I hesitate to even think about that.
Absolutely. When you could be giving to Wisconsin Public Radio, right?
That is the whole point of this story.
Absolutely. Let's go to Don. Don in Eau Claire. Hi, Don.
Hi. Yesterday you had a 94-year-old on your FDR program.
Yes.
Well, you got another one today.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm 94, born also in 1922.
Oh, done.
Anyway, I'm a retired physician. I graduated from medical school at the age of 26, started my internship the same year. At that time, there was no mercy showing on house officers, so that it was nothing to be up 2 and 3 nights of the week, practically all night.
Ooh.
Anyway, it was common every time I was up in the night to go into the kitchen and pour myself a cup of leftover coffee that was on the stove. So I was well in the habit of drinking a lot of coffee. All my life I've had no restriction that I've had to place on myself. I can drink coffee for breakfast. I can drink coffee for my evening meal. I can drink coffee as a bedtime drink, and it doesn't bother me in the least as far as sleeping. So I'm sure it's a matter of individual tolerance, and but even at my present age, I enjoy 3 or 4 cups of coffee for breakfast, and that was my start of today with at least 3 cups, maybe close to 4.
Well, maybe it's...
Anyway, no holds barred.
Yeah, well, Dr. Don, what do you think? Maybe it's a key to living long.
Thank you, pardon?
Maybe coffee is a key to longevity.
Well, I don't know. I've got a positive attitude. I attribute more to that, but maybe the coffee keeps me alert enough that I'm interested in everything. Every day it's not a question, where is my biggest ache, but it's a question, what can I learn today? That's always been my attitude, and I hope always will be.
Thank you, Don. 2 94-year-olds in 2 days. This is good.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah. Thank you so much for your call.
Sure, you're welcome.
Yeah. What do you think of what he said, Dr. Hamlin?
Yeah. It does seem like whenever there's a sort of longevity story in the news of the local person who's lived to 105 or whatever, that it's often that there's some anecdote about how they every day ate a fried bologna sandwich or something that doesn't seem like it would be associated with longevity, but just sort of disproves this idea that something that might be bad for some people is necessarily going to be bad for all people. So I think, if you look at longevity studies and coffee consumption, a lot of the longest-lived populations in the world do drink coffee. So it seems like there's something there, but at the same time, I don't know any doctors who would recommend someone start drinking coffee for purposes of increasing their lifespan.
Yeah, unless you're Dr. Don.
Unless you are, right. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Don, for your call. That was wonderful. We'll take more phone calls momentarily. We're talking about caffeine and how much is okay for you when it may be problematic. But we just heard from a 94-year-old who has 4 cups of coffee in the morning. So, you know, who knows? Go figure. It's all, some of it is based on how individuals can tolerate this and what it do. Does it make you concentrate or do you worry about health problems? Our guest has written a piece that's in The Atlantic. There have been a major review of all the studies done for many, many years on the health benefits and health problems from too much coffee drinking. What's the right amount of coffee? And that's what our guest has centered on. What's the right amount of coffee? He says 4 cups is probably safe. What do you think? 800-486-8655 is our number. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we thank everybody who's a sustainer, people who have already contributed during this drive, or if you give by mail. WPR relies on listeners like you, and it's your support. You should know this. That is the single largest piece of the budget. If you have not given yet, please give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for just a couple more pledges by the end of the hour. Your support keeps WPR strong and it helps pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So many people, we had 2 94-year-olds, one remembering FDR yesterday and now another 94-year-old who drinks a lot of coffee in the morning, who have talked about how this station, they're lifelong learners. And that's what we do. We're lifelong learners here. Every day we're learning something new. Which is terrific. So if you think that's terrific, please take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. And we thank you for that.
Our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than, listen to this, Kathleen, 20,000 sustainers.
It's amazing.
And that number is growing day by day.
Give it a try. We think you'll like it. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card and then sit back and relax. It's easy to get started. A gift of $10 a month or whatever amount is best for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
What kinds of things do you spend a dollar a day on?
I easily spend a dollar a day on coffee, even if I buy cheap coffee.
My gym membership, I definitely spend probably more than a dollar a day on.
The bus.
I spend a dollar a day on parking.
Easily gum.
Spinach.
I spend a buck or two on a delicious treat every day, though I do share it with a friend often.
It's easy to spend a dollar a day, or even more, on things that are a part of your daily routine. What about Wisconsin Public Radio? Every day you get information and news that helps you understand the world. You also hear music that lifts your spirits and entertainment that makes you smile. So invest a dollar a day in Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our spring membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we ask for your gift, $10, $15 a month. We thank you for your gift.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give, and any contribution makes a difference. If you're trying to find that, fall in that perfect amount, here are some suggestions. Maybe the same amount you pay per month for Netflix or cable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, we pay a lot for cable. Oh, we pay a lot for cable. Or for coffee,
huh.
Which, like WPR, I really want a cup of coffee now. I'm getting so thirsty. I'm going to do it at 2 o'clock. Or coffee, which, like WPR, is probably something you look forward to every single day. Pledge now. You pick the amount. Your pledge will make a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We just need a couple more pledges before 2 o'clock, so let's get them. 2017 marks 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners, you make it all possible. Your gift today ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on every single day. Make your centennial gift now, and you can do that at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, we're offering a couple special things. Let me tell you about at least one. It's a WPR artist mug, and it features artwork by children from the 1950s. It's just darling. It's yours when you give $13 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's also a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can do that too at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Comments. Kay from Indiana. Whenever I travel through Wisconsin, I always listen to WPR, so I decided to become a sustainer. Kay, thank you. Another person from Indiana. They're just taking over, right? You know, I didn't mean that's great. We have our Colleen is here from Indiana, and we have Gretchen. We need to introduce them more fully to you, our new producers from Minnesota. So close states from the Midwest are here in working here, and now we have Kay, thank you, who drives through the state, and she then decides to stream it when she's at home, too. Gee, Kay, thanks.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. And how do people pledge?
Oh, Lisa. Kathleen, they want to go to WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
And many thanks.
Folgers Aroma Roasted Coffee, made from mound-grown beans, richly roasted and finely ground for great waking-up aroma.
Oh, what that aroma can do.
That was a good ad. I remember that. There was an earlier version of that, James, that I remember from when I was a kid, and heavens knows that's what Mom drank. And Dad.
Yeah, yeah. I think if it's the best part of waking up in your life, then you know, maybe there are other things to address concerns about caffeine's health effects on you.
Yeah, yeah. Chris sends this message on Facebook. My mother drank as much coffee, and she drank Folgers Instant Crystals as she could, and it never bothered her. For Christmas one year, I bought her a Miller pot and a bunch of really good coffee so she could try them and let me know which one she liked. The next Christmas, she told me to go make a pot of the good coffee. She hadn't touched it. Don't drink bad coffee. Keep it in the freezer. If you're going to have vices, you may as well do it well, she says.
My grandmother, my grandparents were the same way with coffee, and I think I'm fine with that. It's kind of if you can save money and not develop a refined taste, and you're perfectly happy with it. I don't see a reason to force that pickiness and cost into your life. But I know a lot of people would disagree with me on that. That I'm missing out on some real pleasure with high end coffees.
Let's go to Mary in Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. This is a question about caffeine and dehydration. I drink a strong cup of green tea, 2 cups of it. I brew it twice. I mean, I steep it twice. And I was wondering, how much water would I have to drink to kind of X out the dehydration effects of coffee? And I also have a question about espresso. I think it's Italian, and how much is a shot of espresso equivalent to a cup of coffee?
Dr. Hamlin.
Yeah, I think, well, espresso is definitely less caffeine than a cup of coffee. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I think it's closer to half of what a cup of coffee would be. It's more concentrated, but generally it's so much smaller that it doesn't come close to the same amount of caffeine. And as for hydration, it's true that caffeinated products will dehydrate you. So depending on the strength of what you're drinking, it's good to add some water to counterbalance that. You know, so if it was a lightly brewed green tea and you're getting a lot of water and a very little bit of caffeine, that might not be an issue. If you're drinking strong black coffee, then you might want to have a lot of water along with it to counterbalance. So there's not going to be an exact formula that I could say, but if you're drinking, say, a strong cup of green tea, maybe have a cup of water for every cup that goes down, and then you'll make sure that. That's just sort of a general rule of thumb. I think you need to feel for yourself as far as what is how much you need to stay hydrated.
We had a caller from Louisiana. People are calling all over the place today. Coffee with chicory, she says, is okay, but regular coffee without chicory makes her acid reflux flare up, and she's wondering if you, doctor, know anything about the effects of roasting coffee with chicory. Does it decrease the acidity?
I do not know. I'm sorry.
Is this a common problem from the studies that everybody looked at? Is acid reflux a problem with drinking coffee, too much coffee perhaps?
I didn't see that come up in this particular review. I know that it certainly can be, and if you do have a problem with acid reflux and are drinking a lot of coffee, it may help to cut back, but not necessarily. It's the sort of thing, again, where it's something worth experimenting with if you think that might be a cause of some of your or heartburn type symptoms.
Does it help with your digestion?
It certainly helps some people have bowel movements when they it can stimulate the bowels to contract. As some people know, after they have their morning cup of coffee, there's a certain part of that routine. So in that way, it can. But I think generally in terms of the effect on the microbiome and all the microbes in our intestines that are helping to digest and shape our health in all kinds of ways, we're just beginning to understand those effects. So it'll be really interesting in coming years to see the studies that come out about how caffeine is acting as a probiotic or just generally changing the microbes.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Hamlin. We enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. James Hamlin, his piece is in The Atlantic. Drinking 4 cups of coffee is probably safe. He is the author of If Our Bodies Could Talk, and he is a senior editor at The Atlantic. So, that was interesting, wasn't it? Indeed it was. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and joining us in our studios, of course, here in Milwaukee as part of the Wisconsin Radio Spring Membership Drive is Lisa Nalbandian. She's our station manager. And you can count on us for interesting, great discussion, great callers. And it is your gift of any amount that makes all of these discussions possible. Give now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
This is really your chance to help pay for all of these great shows that you've just grown to rely on. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, make your donation right now. Support the programs you enjoy. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation about how much coffee you should drink in the course of a day. We've also done terrific shows on. Yesterday we had a great show on FDR. We've had 2 94-year-olds call us yesterday and today who are still very, very lively and very curious about the world at their age, and maybe that's one of the things that has helped them live long lives is this curiosity. And it's true of people who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. So add to your life, right? Take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that is good for you and then give. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
A big strength of WPR's budget is that it comes from a lot of different sources. And the single largest piece of the budget is member support, including almost 800 members of our 9XM Leadership Circle.
9XM members support WPR with gifts of $100 a month or more. You can join the 9XM Leadership Circle right now by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is Ira Glass, host of This American Life, here to say happy centennial, Wisconsin Public Radio. It's hard for any nonprofit to stay alive and stay going and keep to a mission and keep relevant. And to have done this for 100 years, it's just an amazing achievement. Congratulations, WPR.
Join our centennial celebration. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we do appreciate and we actually count on your gift.
Yeah, we ask that you make a contribution and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $5 a month, some give $100 or more a month.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it. We promise to support the programs that you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment here going strong. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Now is the time. Pledge right now while you're thinking about it. It takes just a few minutes. You'll have the good feeling of supporting the programs you love. Join, renew, make an extra gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Special time to give. It is our 100th birthday this year, so give for our birthday, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Show your support for WPR. Remember to ask for our new artist mug. It's yours when you give $13 a month. 888-202-2552.
I love WPR radio, says a listener in Rhinelander. So do we. Thank you so much. Lisa, thanks so much. And thanks for all of your gifts here. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thanks to Chris Molina. And thanks to Colleen Leahy for producing this program and for on-air production. We'll return and talk about geniuses after the news.